Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. Woo! We are sending out the usual warnings as we celebrate our third week of Advent.
Joyful! We adore thee!
Especially joyous on this Gaudete Sunday and third week joyfulness. Mm-hmm. So we may, in our exuberance, use a bit of foul mouth potty language.
I mean,
so
it's how warned. I best express my joy.
Right, exactly. Who hasn't let an F-bomb slip out of sheer exuberance from time to time? And then every now and then we get blasphemous because there's ragiousness that's mixed with our joy.
Right.
And so we sometimes say things that God allows us to take back, but sometimes people don't.
That's right. So people can hold it against us. But you've been warned. We're Catholic. You don't have to be.
Exactly. So,
and we blasphemy.
Welcome to Church Drunk. I am Guess here with my co-host Dizzy. And
Hello.
As always, the question that we start off with is, Diz, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a liturgically colored, beautiful rose-colored Jubilee.
Yeah.
Which is just the name of a Bacardi cocktail. Once again, shout out to Mr. Foley and Drinking with the Saints.
Right.
This is, and you should make one. They are very nice.
Quite tasty. Refreshing.
Quite tasty, not too sweet. Tastes like an actual cocktail, I feel, even though it is a shocking shade of pink.
It is quite pink.
Quite pink. Yeah. So, of course, you pour 2 ounces of Bacardi rum, 1/2 ounce of grenadine, and 1/2 ounce of lemon juice into a shaker. And, of course, 40 times you shake it.
Shake it 40 times.
Yeah. And then you strain it and you drink a pink drink and don't feel bad about it because it's Gaudete Sunday.
Gaudete Sunday.
And what are you sipping?
I'm also drinking something pink. Mm-hmm. It looks a bit like pink lemonade, I would actually say.
Yeah, you've got some bubbles.
It doesn't taste that far off. So what I did was threw together a little bit of gin and some Caracara pink orange juice. Yeah, so I actually cut it open, didn't know that it was Caracara orange, and then cut it open. I was like, is this like a weird pink grapefruit? And luckily, Diz was right there to be like, no, it's a Caracara orange, and it's pink
on the
inside.
They're such great oranges. I don't know a lot of fruits by their names, but those ones are worth knowing.
So it is gin with a squeeze of lime, a bit of Caracara orange juice, dash of lavender bitters, and a pink champagne float. And you know what? I don't feel bad about drinking that much femininity out of my glass.
It's so pretty.
It's lavender, it's pink champagne, and I'm drinking it out of the classic National Lampoon's Moose Cup. If you've seen the film, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Cousin Eddie and Merry Christmas, Shitter's full.
Oh my gosh!
Given that we made a pink drink and we poured it into a moose head, we're calling it the Pink Moose.
Which the Pink Moose.
Mrs. Guest thinks is disgusting.
Don't think about it too much.
I think
much.
She's just got a dirty mind.
Yeah.
So,
that could be.
So cheers!
Hey, cheers
to our rose-colored Sunday of joyfulness.
Sunday, here. They're quite delicious. So hopefully you have something pink to drink.
Yeah.
It all counts. And why are we pink today? Nobody knows. It's rose,
it's
by
rose.
The way.
It's rose. Not pink.
No
it's
priest rose. Is wearing pink vestments, everyone. Which, they're rose vestments. Like, who the fuck actually cares?
First of all, I was thinking about this, actually, today. Because everybody who is, like uber churchy, right? So, like, priests being first and foremost, they always say, like, it's the, you know, today we light the pink candle. And then they have to back up and go, the rose candle.
It's rose colored.
Like, really, really churchy. You get like, kind of obsessed about, you know, the nomenclature of the color. And I was sitting there being like, you know what? Like, just pink, for me, is a big step. Because I think in terms of, like, the colors of the rainbow.
Right.
And so, like, it's neither red, nor is it white, which would be the combination of all colors. It's a combination of those two.
Oh, is it a tint or a hue?
Where
you add
no
white,
idea.
It's one or the other.
I have
Somebody
no
tell
idea.
Us.
But the fact that I don't just look at pink and call it, like, light red is a step in the right direction. So the differentiation between pink and rose is, like, completely lost on
you. You are such a, like, man.
Completely
drinking a
lost.
Frothy pink
I'm
drink.
Drinking a light red drink right now, and it's delicious.
It's pretty great. Actually, that looks a lot like the Pantone color of the year, which is a kind of melony pink color.
Melony
pink. Or coral.
Melony pink? Oh,
yeah.
like
melon-ish.
I thought like melony, like the name melony had become a pink
It's
now,
for Melania. Because they're pinkos. No, wait.
Pinkos. Oh, God.
Oh, I'm just kidding. Anyway, joyful Sunday.
In Mother Russia, we call it Melanie Pink. We are in the midst of third week of Advent, which is when you light the third candle, which is the pink candle. Mm-hmm. And that represents that week of joy. You kind of step away from sort of the connecting with the darkness theme of Advent. And you say, hey, no, this is joyful waiting.
Yeah, because you've like turned the corner. You're halfway through the weeks. And sometimes that fourth week is just a couple days, like this year. So you're really close. Yeah. And it's time to look with joy at the arrival of our Savior.
Little baby Jesus.
In little baby Jesus format.
Yeah. So, and the idea that we've been kind of rolling with for our Advent is we've been walking through the steps of the examen, beginning with thankfulness, and then starting, like, we kind of flip-flopped a little bit, and we looked at maybe the negative things first, which kind of usually is step three in the examen, but you can play with it a little bit. So we looked at what we were thankful for. We looked at maybe some of the things that were really challenging for us and for our church. Mm-hmm. And then last week, we kind of were already talking a little bit about joy because we were just saying, what are the highlights? What are the things that give us hope?
Yes,
it was. But joy is different, you know? Joy is, and in the examine context, the point where we're at right now would be more of a looking ahead, listening to God.
Yeah, so like after you do your review, you have to kind of like pause and listen for God to speak and especially speak to your future. So either what God would kind of want for you or is leading you to, but also like where you need God or where you need strength for the journey.
And I do think it is a really important step that sometimes gets overlooked in our prayer
in
life,
you know,
like is that the examine is all about finding the movement of God's spirit in all facets of your life, the small things that all of a sudden become God moments when you reflect on them. And so you hit that and you go, oh my gosh, wow, God's so wonderful. I'm so thankful, which is a great place to be at.
Yep.
But God is always calling us to something also. And so, you know, as you start to kind of wrap up and turn the corner on your examine, you start to say, okay, well, what is God asking me to do? What does the road ahead look like for me? What am I going to need extra help with as I move ahead?
And keep in mind, you know, it's intended to be done like every day.
Right.
So you're only really looking ahead to the next day. So for me, it's this wonderful way to be intentional about the next day.
Right.
You can't just let them blend together because you're only doing this once in a while. Like if you're doing it every day, then you're looking into the next day, which you might be dreading for a particular reason or avoiding something. And it's like there can be a very specific area where you're asking God to help you look ahead.
For sure. Yeah. And so what we were going to do for our kind of Advent examine was we were going to look at, well, okay, so what does the road ahead look like for our church? Because we've kind of been examining where we're at with the church in terms of, you know, what are the things that have been challenging and what are the things that we're thankful for and what are the things that we're joyful about? And then also, personally, you know, we've kind of been checking those same things. So what are we looking ahead to in our own lives and how are we preparing for those things in Advent? So when you think about, like, moving forward, right? We've talked about the kind of the quagmire that we're stuck in as a church right now. What do you see, like, on the horizon and why is it important to look to that?
You know, I think for the church, it is important to have eyes raised to the horizon and to look ahead because we are in such a quagmire. If you didn't have that, there would be no hope. So just like the basis of like feeling like I could look ahead to a future is kind of an achievement.
Yeah.
You know, I have particular wishes, right? Like I want the laity to have more ownership and leadership where appropriate, you know, in the faith. But beyond that, I think I would like us to be following the Holy Spirit. Like, when I look back at, like, you know, the most recent kind of golden days, which I mean, they weren't golden in some ways, but the Vatican II time where everybody was being collaborative.
Right.
Like, I think we need that kind of spiritual movement again.
Yeah.
Where there's, like in everything else in our world today, less of the, like, fighting, but more of the, as a people of faith, being open to guidance of the Spirit. Whether that's to my particular, you know, soapboxes or maybe not.
Yeah.
But if I felt like it was a collaborative thing that we all felt we were being guided somehow, I don't know if there was ever agreement on that though, anytime in the church.
Yeah.
But I think there are moments in the church where it's clearly identified that the Holy Spirit is moving.
Yeah. Well, and there is, I think right now in the church, you know, like, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody else, like a certain degree of navel gazing, like, oh my gosh, aren't we in trouble? Or, oh my gosh, isn't this hard? Or, oh my gosh, there's never been anything like this in the church before. And while on some levels that's true, you know, like we are looking at an unprecedented level of the church being called out for corruption that is not just, I think of it in terms of like the Protestant Reformation, right? Like, because there are days where I want to go and I want to like hammer my theses to the wall, right? But at the same time, like, you know, that was church corruption, right? Like there were things that were wrong with the church itself. And right now, people, if they have issues with the theological stances of the church, they take such a backseat to the fact that like lives are being destroyed and people are being harmed by the power that comes from, you know, the church authority. And that can't happen. So that's why, like, sure, like, this is unprecedented. But then at the same time, you look back at the history of the church and you see all of the messiness.
Different way.
All of the garbage and all of the truly awful things that have happened in the church. You know, the Crusades, not exactly a bright spot in our history. Nope. And so it's not unprecedented that the church is, you know, struggling with how to be a force for good instead of not so good.
Well, and I think, you know, we're in this joy week, and I like the definition of joy as a deeper sense of more than happiness, and that has to come from a relationship.
Yeah.
So I think it's back to relationships between people. It's back to relationships with us and God and other people with God.
And I think when I look ahead, I think I get some joy out of the notion that there has been struggle and strife in the past in our church and that the church will survive. Like, I am confident of that just from an objective perspective. Like, some way, somehow, there's going to be a Catholic church 100 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like we are at a crossroads moment. So the church 100 years from now probably won't look like the church that we are going to today and that we're talking about today. But then that's when I go, okay, so it's going to survive and we're at a crossroads. And a crossroads is where you can choose like the high road or the low road, the good path or the bad path, the road less taken or the road that everybody goes down all the time. And I don't know if we're going to go down the good path, you know, but little baby Jesus says, like, have faith.
Mm-hmm.
The good path is there, and some people will walk it. And if the church is there and people are walking the good path, then it'll be worth it.
Yeah, I think you're right that the future church will be very different. And kind of any of us who consider ourselves as, like, participating despite the troubles, we're hoping for those future people who are in the future one. Like, we are putting it out there for them. And they might be people who are not from church backgrounds or who come back or circle two in a new way.
Right.
And that I would read that as the Spirit moving.
Yep.
And I think that's what takes courage and joy, courage and faith. Like, you talked about little baby Jesus being born, like, not in ideal circumstances, and still calls for hope.
Yeah.
And still inspired joy in that circumstance. So that's our wish, I think.
And I think a lot of times we want to prescribe faith to, you know, the hope that comes with faith is for me, for my salvation, that I'm going to be okay, that I, you know, that God loves me. But in the midst of all the bullshit of our world right now, having faith means really trusting that there will still be some goodness, that it may not always rule the day. Goodness will not be what wins out every single day throughout history. But that the goodness won't die out. The little flame will not be extinguished. That there will be some goodness in the world. And that hopefully, from time to time, the ship will steer more towards that goodness. And people will say, this is a really good thing.
I think that's the biggest challenge of faith, right? Because, like, if we're Christian, we believe that the battle is already won.
Right.
That Christ has paid the price. That, you know, redemption has occurred, is occurring, will occur. But then the moments matter so much, and the little stuff matters, and that's where it's such a challenge to say, but you still need to stay in it and not give up. And also to realize that, like, your suffering matters, and your suffering sucks, and none of it is changed in this moment.
Right.
That's
real.
That's the challenge.
The
it is real.
The struggle is real. The suffering is real.
But your good little mini actions that you don't see as good or as having effect are important, I think. As well.
And what about personally, as you look ahead and you go, okay, so it's kind of, Advent's a weird season because it's dependent on the Sundays, right? And so sometimes Advent is almost 5 weeks and sometimes it's closer to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of depends on where that Christmas falls in the days of the week. So we have a relatively short Advent this year, which means that even though we're on the third Sunday, we're getting close to the real end.
It's coming up.
So what do you see ahead?
Last time we kind of gave our sort of goals or resolutions for the season. Mm-hmm. And so still kind of in the thick of that and just trying to come back to basics, I think.
Yeah.
For myself. But so you're, so what are we saying here? You want, well, what's the, what are you,
what is your joy? So like,
oh, what
Christmas,
is my joy?
Christmas time is just around the bend. And what is your, where do you find your bliss, your joy, and how do you see God escorting you to Christmas time?
So I think the fact that I'm finding any kind of joy is a win for God and me, given the current circumstances. And we talked about last time how I do sort of feel it despite logic.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to kind of rest in that. But I think, I don't know. But beyond that, you know, you've talked a little bit about a guiding light, the star. What about for you?
So what I'm doing right now is I'm reading Christmas Carol, which I do from time to time during the Christmas season. You know, it's not like something that I do every year, but this year I'm reading it to little baby Guess. So, which means I'm literally like reading it like page by page, like, okay, that's enough for now, you know, but it does make you read it a little differently when you go through it slowly. And I love the story.
It's a good one.
It's just such a great story, and it changed the way that people kind of celebrate Christmas, which is why it's a story that still has life. But as I was reading through it, I was reading the scene where Scrooge is visited by Marley's ghost. And Marley's the first one to arrive and say, hey, you're going to be visited by these three spirits and yada, yada, yada. And at one point, Scrooge is confused as to why Marley has been condemned to this horrible fate. And he's wrapped in chains and, he's so miserable. And Scrooge says, well, but you were always such a good man of business. And Marley says, well, humanity was my business. And,
such a good rant.
Benevolence and generosity, those were my business. And I didn't realize it. And he said, I had my eyes downcast so much that I could never look up and see the star that led the wise man to baby Jesus, that actually brought people into the presence of Christ. And he said that star would have illuminated plenty of houses of the poor, just like Jesus was born in a poor house.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of other places where I could have gone and encountered Christ there and helped out in some way.
Yeah.
And so that's been kind of like my mantra ever since I read that part. It's like, okay, so I always think during Advent that the light of Advent that we talk about is like little baby Jesus in the manger, right? But like the light, the star, is what kind of leads you there. And it's what illuminates the world around you to see the presence of the little baby Jesus in all sorts of other places. Yeah. So that's what I've been trying to do a little bit more consciously.
I mean, it's a great analogy, and it's a great reminder to lift your eyes and then to see better where you're needed or where God clearly might be.
Yeah. I think one thing that I saw that was just like, I saw it differently after like reading that passage and thinking about it, was like the little giving trees. You know, you see the giving trees everywhere, all the time, at every church, at every school, on the, you know, like in certain like shops you find them, where it's like, take a tag, buy something for somebody else. You're never going to see this person, you're never going to meet them, but you're going to wrap up a gift and you're going to hope that like it
brings them a little joy.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. And I was like, that is like, that's a little, the light on top of the little star on top of that little Christmas giving tree is one of those lights of, you know, stars of Bethlehem that lights the way to like, here's something you can do that really does make a difference in someone's life.
Yeah. And as you say this, like, and I liked the thought of the star illuminating, kind of illuminating the needs. I think that's what's kind of bringing down the joy a little bit. Like, it's so very bleak.
It is.
You know, just this past week, this little girl dies at the border, and I'm just like, awful. I can't stop thinking about that.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't, right?
Right.
Sometimes the star is showing us, like, hard stuff. And, like, I think we're all, hopefully, we're trying to help.
But as I also, for my own personal reasons, read my Desjardins, my Pierre Teilhard Desjardins, which is a little sophisticated than baby Guess just yet.
sidebar on Chardin, just got himself out of like the Vatican hot pot onto the to-be canonized list.
I know, right?
Like, cheers for Chardin, everyone.
Yeah. And I read that, and the stuff that he talks about, so I'm reading Divine Milieu, and it, I can't say it without
I was going to say, do you want to read Divine Milieu?
And he talks about, like, the darkness being sort of your battleground. So if you are kind of in this spot where you're suffering or there's something difficult, you know, like we all talk about encountering God through our own actions and we can pray our way into like a better relationship with God. But the darkness is that opportunity to kind of step up to the plate and say, I will join God in the fight against the evil of the world. And when something really awful happens to me, that if you shrink away from that, then you really can't claim to be a person of faith. You have to step up to the plate and you fight harder, you know? So yeah. He's kind of rebuking some of that mentality of like, well, I need to give up, like, I won't have any treatment for my disease because I'm going to wait for God to heal me, right? Like, you fight it.
God would like you to participate.
Fight with God in that moment. And so I think that has helped me look and see, okay, yeah, like, the light illuminates the injustices of the world. But every time you see that injustice, it's an opportunity to join God in the fight.
I 100% agree. And I feel like that is what it means to live out your faith. I just struggle to find the joy in it a little bit.
It's hard. Yeah.
Gotta take the long view. All right. Well, we hope you're finding joy.
Yeah.
And seeing things clearly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wherever and it you're
is,
looking.
You know, I mean, there's so many reminders to just kind of, you know, like the little bell ringers on the side of the road and every little bit, you know, that for me, it's the Christmas music and the Christmas carols. Mm-hmm. Like, lift up your heart. Be joyful. It's a time to wait in joyful anticipation.
And you don't have to feel guilty about that either.
Yeah.
It's a both and situation. Okay. So it's also the week where we have the
Antiphons
and the readings from, I think, Isaiah.
Most of it comes out of the book of Isaiah.
Is there some Jeremiah in there?
There might be a little bit
I think
Jeremiah.
It's mostly Isaiah.
But Isaiah is the one who was classic for naming the Messiah, right? And obviously didn't know that the Messiah's name would be like Jesus or Joshua or Yeshua or whatever you would track Jesus' name back to. But
little baby Yeshi.
So he had all these, you know, Prince of Peace and Wonder Counselor and all these things which you read through the lovely readings from the book of Isaiah. So there's this tradition of the O Antiphons, where you have a different prayer every day that is associated with a different name of Jesus. And we just found out by reading through our Drinking with the Saints book that apparently back in the day in medieval monasteries, the O Antiphons was such a time of anticipation for the arrival of Christmas that they would walk around reminding each other to keep your O. Diz, don't forget during this most joyous season of Advent to keep your O.
Yes, I cherish my O. I hold it close.
Would they remind?
Especially
would
in
it
Advent.
Be, keep thy O? Was that what I keep thy
well,
O?
Well, I mean, it is now.
Yeah.
Hey, guess, keep thy O.
Keep thy O, Sister Guess.
Oh my gosh. I like that you made yourself into Sister Guess.
Sister Guess.
I'll be Brother Diz.
Brother Diz and Sister Guess. We've got a very interesting monastery.
Here.
Yeah.
Special times. Okay, so they are...
Yeah, read them off.
O Wisdom, O Adonai, which is Lord, O Root of Jesse, O Key of David, O Dawn, like the rising sun, O King of the Gentiles, and O Emmanuel.
Yes.
And those are beautiful.
Lovely.
And they, you know, so much theology is like wrapped up.
Yeah.
In those.
And it's where we get the O Come Emmanuel song from, right?
Advent hymn.
Right. Yes.
Really?
So what we decided was as we enter the season of O Antiphons, as a way of keeping our O.
How we keep our O here on Church Drunk. How we ruin something beautiful with our booziness.
Is that we would, number one, come up with our own title for the Savior, also a beverage to go along with it, because that is in the Drinking with the Saints book, a little profile of like, so at there every day there would be a different celebration of the O Antiphon, and the closer it got, the bigger the celebration was, and so like during the O this or O that, like they could anticipate certain things, and so O Key of David was the day when the brother cellar keeper would open up, take out his key to the cellar and open it up and bring out some really good wine to celebrate. So it was
the
like
monks
they
were
had,
like the original liturgical drinkers.
Seriously. Like
our heroes.
They drink nothing but beer all Lent. I will go to that monastery.
Like, keep your O, here comes the wine.
Right. So we're gonna come up with our own names and our own drinks.
Okay.
So who's up first?
I can go first.
Okay.
All right. So I like this one because it is punny. And has some meaning. Okay, so I believe my O Antiphon drink, my antiphonal drink, will be O Dawn, D-O-N. This is great because it's like Dawn.
There's already O Dawn, D-A-W-N.
Mm-hmm, and a Dawn is like a
you're
Lord.
O Dawn, yeah. Yeah. You're just going to confuse the hell out of people, right? Because it's going to be like, oh, dawn, and they're going to have one day of celebration, and then they're going to wake up the next day and go, oh, dawn.
And
they're going to think it's like Groundhog Day.
I mean, if you're complaining about double dawns, it's your fault.
You're going to have a special drink to remind them that it's a new dawn.
So on my...
New dawn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, dawn. New dawn. Oh, dawn again.
Keep your eye on.
It's like Trailer Park and Devon's. Okay, no. My Odon, D-O-N, the drink would be like a tequila sunrise to remind you also of the dawn that is coming.
Yes.
A strong, you know.
Some Don Julio.
Don Julio would be.
With a little bit of sunrise added to it. So it's a double dawn.
A double dawn. Triple dawn.
Triple dawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
I would go, my O and Devon would be O Master Carpenter. And then I would have a whiskey-based drink with some walnut bitters added into it because, you know, like fancy. Whiskey aged in a barrel, walnut type of wood, right? So everything, every ingredient would build off of a wood theme, O Master Carpenter. Yeah.
I'm so proud of you for, like, resisting all the wood jokes that I know you were thinking about. You made up this drink and explanation. I would definitely partake of the
on
O Master
my day
Carpenter.
Of the O Antiphons in the monastery, instead of saying everybody, oh, keep your O, they have to say, oh, keep your wood, brother.
Oh, keep your wood.
Brother, remember to keep your wood.
My cross-dressing brothers and sisters of the monastery.
Allow me to keep your wood for you.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's when the...
It's probably what happened, though.
The sister nunnery comes over and they all celebrate the Master Carpenter together.
Right. Yep.
Lots of
O Master Carpenter. That's that's my O antiphon.
Well, those are beautiful, and I think forever shall be celebrated.
Yes.
At least here
at
First Drunk.
We're adding them to our
more
personal...
O antiphons.
Yeah. Yeah, we keep our O big
that's how
with
we
church
keep
drunk.
Our O.
Yeah.
It's a build up. We believe in the build up.
Exactly.
We're at the end of the O antiphons.
Oh man!
Oh my
well,
gosh.
That is our joy.
That's
week.
A lot. Of
we
joy.
Hope it brought you joy.
Keep the in joy.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Yes. And we are really glad that you came back and joined us. And
yeah. You
hopefully
can...
you'll join us again after us talking about all, keeping our O for this amount of time. But let us know what you think about Advent. What are you looking forward to as Christmas approaches? Hit us up with an email, churchdrunk@gmail.com.
You can tweet at Guess, Brother Guess, keeping his O at churchdrunkpod.
At churchdrunkpod.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
And
that'll be next week, our final week of Advent. And
the shortest week.
Very close to Christmas.
Christmas season. Yeah. It's a real season.
So we'll see you next time here on Church Drunk, where our O antiphons are like... Oh, keeper of cups.
Oh, filler of bottles.
Yeah. Oh, barreler of booze.
Oh, guzzler of gimlets.
Oh, guzzler of gimlets. Nice.
I can't help it. Cheers. Happy Joy Week. Oh, that's a good one.